Today, as you obviously know, marks the beginning of Lent. And if the season of Lent is something new to you, then you might be a little surprised by the ritual action of Ash Wednesday, in which we will come forward and smear ashes on each other's faces. It's a rather odd thing to do, and even if this is something that you've done before, it should still strike all of us as a strange ritual. So before we go any further, I thought it would be a good idea to remember what it is that we're doing at this Ash Wednesday service. And to do that, I want to make three simple but important observations from this passage in Isaiah. The first observation is that God calls us to repent. God tells Isaiah to announce to the people their rebellion and sin. And there's a sense of great urgency and concern in this announcement. Isaiah is to go to the people and shout it out and not hold back, to lift up his voice like a trumpet. And I think the urgency and concern shows us two things. One, that our sinfulness is a very serious thing in God's eyes. And two, God wants so desperately for all of his children to hear this announcement. And in this way, the announcement that Isaiah is to shout out is an invitation to the people of God to repent. Now, this may sound a bit strange at first, but repentance is one of the great gifts that God has given us. Repentance is one of the great gifts that God has given us. It is an invitation to turn from the things that enslave us and harm us and steal our allegiance, and to turn to the one who offers us the true life of freedom and peace and wholeness. It's important to remember that in repentance, whenever we turn from something, that at the same moment, we are turning to God. So at its core, repentance is an invitation to trust God deeply. It's an invitation to trust God deeply. To trust that God will provide us with life and security and joy, and not these other things that have captured our hearts. Unfortunately, it is easy to approach Lent with a kind of cage mindset. Turning from something or fasting from something for Lent can sometimes feel like you're locking yourself up in a cage for 40 days. But if we think of Lent, or if we think of repentance and fasting rightly, more in terms of receiving God's gift of abundant life and putting our allegiance back where it should be, then I think we will open ourselves up for a deeper spiritual journey with God. But it starts with God's great gift of repentance that he urgently and invitingly shouts out to his people. The second observation is that God wants our liturgy and our life to be wed together. The prophet Isaiah confronts the people about this very issue. Their worship, their liturgy, lacks sincerity. Worship is supposed to focus our attention on God. And when our focus is on God, we discover the things in life that are important to God. And they then become important to us. But Israel was worshiping with their own interest in mind. They were going through the motions and rituals of the liturgy in order to manipulate God into giving them their own desires. They humble themselves and fast and pray, hoping that they will get something out of it. Something that they want, not necessarily what God wants. The things that they offered to God in worship were ultimately for themselves. They were self-focused. Now, this became painfully real to me about a week and a half ago when I returned home from a five-day trip to California. And I really don't like being gone that long from my family. And I couldn't wait to get back home to see Kim and Solomon and Lydia. And while I was gone, Kim took the kids to a store to buy me a welcome home present. And so when I got home, Solomon presents me with this offering, this gift, a welcome home present for Daddy. And the thing that he picked out for me, my gift, was this big, beautiful, colorful, plastic dump truck. Now, don't get me wrong. It was a wonderful dump truck, I'm sure. And there was a time in my life when I would have loved to play with that dump truck for hours and hours. But it's fairly obvious to everyone who this gift, who this offering was really for. Solomon's gift to me was really intended for his own delight. And the very next day, after giving me my welcome home present, we were sitting on the floor playing with this new dump truck, and I asked Solomon, whose truck is this? And without even batting an eyelash, he said, Solomon's. So, at one moment he was enacting the liturgy of giving me a gift, and the next moment he revealed his selfishness by claiming it for himself. Now, while Solomon's selfishness was really the cutest thing, our insincere and selfish worship isn't nearly as cute to God. But when our worship is true, there is a union of liturgy and life. So we worship a God of justice and righteousness, and then enact that same liturgy in the world by loosing the bonds of injustice, undoing the thongs of the yoke, and letting the oppressed go free. Our focus turns from loving ourselves to loving God. And in doing that, we discover that loving God is expressed in our care for the hungry, the poor, the sick, the stranger. So we should examine ourselves as we enter the season of Lent. Our turning away from things and from our self-focus is also a turning toward God and God's care for others. It's turning towards God and God's care for others. The $1.50 that we may save if we happen to be giving up our morning coffee every day, that $1.50 that we save could go into the pocket of someone who really needs it instead of back into our own. The television time that we may be giving up during Lent could be spent in the service of prayer for others, for the church, for our world. The red meat that you refrain from could feed a hungry family for the next 40 days. This is the kind of fast that is pleasing to God. And the third observation is that when we embrace this spirit of repentance, we receive the joy and comfort of God's presence. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that repentance is easy. And I know that I certainly have never said that. This Lenten journey of repentance is hard. And it's hard because there is a cross waiting for us. Christ's cross of self-denial and shame. And we all have a natural resistance to walking this hard Lenten road with Jesus to the cross. We naturally resist it. But the paradox of the road to the cross is that embracing the death of self, we find true life in Christ. In our care and concern for others, we find God. In verse 8, God says, "Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am. Here I am." We are being called to trust that our God is a God who is with us in the darkness, who is with us in our sickness, in our thirst, when we stumble, when we are being pursued by our enemies, when we need guidance. And our reading in Isaiah stopped at verse 12. But I want to go to verse 14, where it talks about God's promise to feed us also. When we are in need of food, God promises to feed us with the heritage of our ancestor Jacob. There is an eschatological banquet waiting for us that provides the real spiritual food that we need for this journey, the body and the blood of Christ. As one writer puts it, we don't celebrate Lent as if we didn't know there is an Easter. It is Christ's victory that assures us of God's abiding presence with us. And as we join Christ on this road to Jerusalem, we go carrying this promise of hope. People of God, receive God's good gift of repentance. Receive the promise of God's presence. Amen.